King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of December 10th, 2019. And this is officially episode 419. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live right here on the Paranormal King Radio Network at ParanormalKing.com. And yes, I can already hear it. The 420 jokes are already rolling in. But yes, it's only 419 this week, and December usually slows down, but we got a couple of interesting stories for you tonight. And of course, we're also talking about the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019. We debuted that last week with the number 10, number 9, and number 8 stories. And this week, of course, we have number 7, number 6, and number 5. It's the first time that I've ever done this format. Usually I do two at a time over the course of, 5 weeks? That's a long time. Over a month, I tease you guys with these stories. But this year, a little bit more straightforward, to the point, getting to the punch in 3 weeks. And I kind of like this format a little bit better. But we'll see how we move forward. I've been doing that for 10 years now. And if we get a chance, it's kind of wedged in the middle. Basically have three segments tonight, and the first segment is new news. Second segment was the top 10 paranormal news stories for 2017, and then we'll get into 2019 here at the third part of the segment. But we'll see how everything runs time-wise, because I don't want to be talking like Mario Andretti here and run through everything, and I want it to be smooth, and I'm not going to keep you up late. I know I need my beauty sleep, so we'll see what happens. And it's not really a story, but just kind of, I don't know if you saw this. You know, I talked about the Bigfoot show Sunday. I missed it. I didn't get to watch it, so I don't know if, you guys saw that show. Let me know. I haven't been able to catch it. I know it's repeated. The Expedition Bigfoot, heard it's okay. I mean, it's not going to be groundbreaking or something completely new. It's pretty much cut from the cast of everything else that's been out. But Monday, I was really, really excited. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Ghostbusters. The new Ghostbusters trailer dropped for the movie, and they've named it Ghostbusters Afterlife. I was pretty excited. I was more than excited. I watched it about 10, 20 times. That's going to debut next year, July 10th, 2020. If I could buy tickets for it now, I would. I would. It sounds exciting. Tonight, yes, we're going to talk some new news, including the Loch Ness Monster. Wow. Again, the Loch Ness Monster. It's another one of those feel-good stories. We had one a few weeks ago. We'll talk about that coming up quickly here. MUFON sighting statistics, they're in. I'm excited because my prediction was pretty darn close. The Pentagon, this is a pretty big story. This is kind of one of the bigger stories that's dropped in a while, but I'm not seeing it like all over the place. I would have expected this story to be front page news, but it's not been. It's really quiet. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'll be one of the first to tell you about this. I don't know. But the Pentagon has responded to UAP and other UFO-related allegations. It's kind of a bombshell kind of thing that happened yesterday. And what else? Well, I wanted to mention, as I do every week. Now, I've only got this show and next week's show, then I'm off for a little while, a couple weeks. Just a couple weeks. I don't think it's 3 weeks. Is it a month? Do I get a year off? No. Let's see. So the 17th next week is the final show of the year. 2019 comes to a close for me next week, as we'll have the number 4, number 3, number 2, and the number 1 story of the year here on the Paranormal News Insider. And then, yes, I'm taking Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve off, but I will be back January 7th, I think, unless something else is going on with the station. I don't know. And then, then I'll be here the 14th. But after that, yeah, I'll have another week off. So I'll be probably another 2 weeks because I'll be out of town, be out in Arizona. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But 2019 coming to a close for the show. And I've done my best to update the events listing on the Paranormal News Insider official website, which is paranewsinsider.com. And got a lot of events up there for 2020. And again, yeah, paranewsinsider.com. Click on the events tab at the top. And if you have any information about any event and you'd like to hear it here or see it on the website or both, let me know. You can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com or contact me through the website. There's a little contact tab there. You can clickety-clack and let me know what you want your event to be. And I'll check it out anyway. So the latest added event, I don't remember what day it was. Over the weekend, I think. Yesterday? I'm not sure. The latest added event is the Paravation, a paranormal event focused on preservation, which is something that a lot of organizations, a lot of groups do. And that's fantastic to help preserve these historical buildings. But this building is called the Historic Heater House, and it's over 270 years old. It's been around quite a long time, very historic. There's a lot of artifacts and construction in that, which are really, really important. So generating money for that is extremely important. So this Paravation event takes place April 25th and 26th in Strasburg, Virginia. And the it's called the Strasburg Historical Paravation. It's the complete name there. So check it out. Check all the events out. And again, if you have any information about one that I might have missed, well, again, just let me know. I'm also all over the place on social media. The Paranormal News Insider has a Facebook, a Twitter, and an Instagram page. And you can get a hold of me through the socials. That's what the kids say, right? I hope that's what they say. I'm old. I'm out of touch. I don't know what's going on anymore. Let's see. Also, last week, I recorded a show, the Paranormal Road Podcast with Dave Hensley and Randy Kessler. Last week, I think it was Thursday. Yeah. And if you haven't heard it because it's debuting pretty much as I speak. Yeah, it's debuting tonight at 8 p.m. But don't fret. You're either listening to that or you're listening to me. Either way, I'm happy. Yes, it debuts tonight right now, but you can listen to it at your earliest convenience. They dropped it on Podbean first, which is my home for my show as well. So we're neighbors, I guess. But it's also going to be available through Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. I know it's on TuneIn. Probably a lot of other podcast providers, I'm sure. So Paranormal Road Podcast. It was an hour-long show, a couple of segments there. We talked about a lot of stuff, mostly ghosts and a little bit of cryptid stuff, and I've been invited back on. We'll see when that happens and probably talk more ghosts, more cryptids, and cram little UFOs. I told him I could speak about 10 hours worth of content on each topic pretty easily. So they were excited. I was excited. It was a lot of fun. And I like it when it's just a conversation. I don't like when somebody's got 15 questions and they rifle these things off. It's because I generally just take one and run like a running back. I'm gone and just kind of explore it and talk about things. So anyway, I had a lot of fun with that. And so you can find that again, Paranormal Road Podbean. So paranormalroad.podbean.com. That's where I'm going to listen to mine tonight. I mean, I was there. Just, I don't know. I might have said some stupid stuff. I don't know. But it was a lot of fun. Anyway, let's jump into some news. Got a crammed show tonight. I want to talk about some of this news. Excited about a little bit this, but we're going to lead off with a story out of Scotland. It'd be crazy if I did the whole show like that. We're, like William Shatner, we're going to do a story out of Scotland. Yes, Scotland. We've talked a lot about Scotland, especially the Loch Ness Monster this year. I don't know. Maybe he's the number one story this year. Seems like every week the Loch Ness Monster is coming up. And this story sounds a little familiar. Maybe if you've been listening to the show at all. I don't know. Have you all been listening? I'm going to take that as a maybe. I don't know. But back on November 5th, that episode of the show, I talked about 5-year-old Zachary White. He had spent 7 months in the hospital after being diagnosed with acute leukemia earlier this year. And the charity Rays of Sunshine helped get him to live out his dream of traveling to Scotland, hearing bagpipes played live, and of course, discovering the Loch Ness Monster. They gave him some tools. They put him on one of those ships, one of those boats, the tour boats, took him out, and lo and behold, he found the Loch Ness Monster. It's a pretty cool moment. They actually made that as an official Loch Ness Monster sighting, which is kind of confusing, but it's kind of cool at the same time. Now, 10-year-old Julia Davidson from San Diego, California, is able to live out a similar wish. Julia has been battling cancer, which has now gone into remission, and Macy's and Make-A-Wish San Diego teamed up to make her dreams come true. Julia said, quote, "My wish is to go to Ireland and Scotland, mostly because I want to see the castles and learn about more about the history," unquote. Julia and her family will soon be traveling to Ireland and Scotland, where they will visit castles and get the chance to look for Nessie. And I'm sure she'll find it. Guarantee you. Kids are magical. You know, we talk about ghosts and kids seeing ghosts all the time. I'm sure she'll see it. And even a lot of this, well, not so much this year, but I know last year, quite a few sightings were made by younger people. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. From November 4th to December 24th, Macy's is asking people of all ages to write letters to Santa and drop them off in stores or submit them online. For every letter sent, Macy's will donate $1 up to $1 million. Yes, $1 million to make a wish to help grant wishes for children battling critical illnesses. And you can find that the online at macys.com/social/believe. One of our favorite words here on the Paranormal News Insider. Why is the Loch Ness Monster the only creature in Scotland? Well, I'm sure there's plenty of creatures in Scotland. The Loch Ness Monster just gets top billing. At pretty much every lake, they call them lochs up there, has some sort of story attached to it, some kind of creature, some kind of monster. But Loch Ness is one of the bigger lakes, let alone bigger named creatures. But every lake up there, even the ponds, have names of some sort of creature that lives up there. But that's the one we know. They've got all sorts of purported large cats, alien big cats that live up there. So not the only cryptid, but it's the one that everybody pays attention to, unfortunately. I think there's a lot of other stuff going on. One of these days, we just got to drain it. Actually, they're talking about, I don't know if they've done this yet or if they've started construction, but they're going to put drill holes in there, and they're going to drain some of the water for power. So the hydroelectric power is going to be going on a Loch Ness, and that could affect the levels of the lock. They have to dam it, though, so I don't know how that's going to work because it's still connected to the ocean, so I don't know how they're going to pull that off. But that was the rumor last year, and we'll see. People were freaking out thinking the Loch Ness Monster is going to get sucked into the drains of that thing. But Loch Ness was formed 10,000 years ago from the Ice Age. So if there was a plesiosaur, however you want to say it, it's okay either way. Really, it is. I give you permission. It would have been under a mile and a half worth of ice. So I don't think that's what it was. Anyway, moving along to UFO news tonight. MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, has released their sighting statistics for the month of November. Now, I know Dita's in the house. She's in the chat room patrolling as always, and she listens to every single word I say. And I know she wrote down my predictions last month, and I'm sure any moment now she's going to flash them to the entire room there in the chat room so everybody knows whether I'm telling the truth or not telling the truth. So last month, I predicted 570 total worldwide sightings with 374 reported in the United States for October, and the actual numbers were 540 and 442. Not great. Not great, but not completely horrible guesses. Not my best work, let's just put it to you that way. And I took about a year off from making predictions. Last month was not pretty. But November, there they are. November, my predictions were 525 total worldwide sightings with 398, not 308, 398 in the United States. That is accurate. That's what I wrote down. That's what she wrote down. We're good. We're good. If I'm pretty, yeah, within 100, I guess that's not too bad. But anyway, 525 was my prediction. Drum roll. I did a lot better this time. Pretty close. This is the closest I've ever been, has been, I think, one off before. And, well, same thing this month. MUFON reported 524 worldwide sightings with 407 reported. So it's a little off on, not too bad. Nine off, so not too horrible. 407 reported in the United States. The United Kingdom turned in 37 for second place. It's not a race. It's not a race. It's not a race at all. Canada had 26. France had 5. Italy turned in 4. And there were 33 other countries that turned in 3 or less reports, with 23 turning in just one report. Now, focusing on the United States, 407 reports. California was number one. They topped the list with 54 sightings. Florida was next with 32. Arizona was third with 28. Texas had 27. Georgia followed with 20 reports. Washington and Missouri had 16 each. Oregon and New York had 14 reports each. North Carolina turned in 13. Colorado had 11. Illinois had 10. Ohio, my home state, the Buckeye State, had 9 reports. And Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, Minnesota, and Tennessee all had 8 each. Only 8 reports. There were 29 other states that turned in 7 or less reports, with 8 of those turning in 1 report each. Now I do a little thing that, again, MUFON used to do. They don't do it anymore. Maybe they need a statistician to take over, or they can ask me to do it. I'll do it. I don't care. Got to put me on the payroll, though. Per capita. Per capita. So per how many sightings in each state per 100,000 people. It's a better benchmark than just throwing out numbers of how many sightings per state. That doesn't give you an accurate representation of how many sightings per how many people are in that state. So let's take an example. We'll set a benchmark. So we'll look at California. California is the number one state in population and the number one state in sightings for this month and most months. It's pretty rare that it gets knocked out in the number one spot, but it does happen every now and again. So California registered a 0.135. So 0.135 of 100,000 people reported a UFO in California last month. Not very impressive statistically at all. I mean, that's not even like an arm. It's not even an arm of 100,000 people. So that's almost like one in a million. Not quite, but pretty close. So statistically insignificant. So probably more people. I don't know, got stung by bees. I don't know. I don't know what you could throw out there statistically that would be higher. Maybe saw a shark. Maybe didn't watch the Kardashians on TV. I don't know. But it's still not very statistically high. But let's look at some other states. So Florida. Florida is number three as far as state population. And they had 32 sightings. Pretty impressive. But a 0.15. So just slightly better than California, even though they had a lot less sightings. Then we look at Washington. They're 13th in state population. They had 16 sightings. Not very good. Half of Florida. But they turned in a 0.212. So you can see with less population, even with less sightings, they still had a higher per capita. Pretty impressive. So Delaware only had two sightings. They're 45th in state population. They had a 0.228. So a 0.228. Connecticut, 29th in state population. They had eight sightings. They finished with a 0.224. So about just shy of 1 in 400,000 people. Still pretty insignificant. Missouri, number 18 in state population, 16 sightings, a 0.261 per capita. Oregon, number 27 in state population, 0.334 is their per capita number. And it's like 1 in 300,000, I suppose. Yeah, that's about it, right? 14 sightings. That's pretty impressive for Oregon. Wyoming is dead last. Number 50 in state population. Hardly anybody lives there. I don't think anybody lives there. I think there's cows and maybe a couple people. It's weird. I do know somebody that was born in Wyoming. Weird. Well, she is weird. But two sightings in Wyoming, and they turned in a 0.346. That's pretty impressive. Less than 500,000 people live there. It's pretty impressive. Arizona, 14th in state population. They had a whopping 28 sightings for a 0.39 per capita. And our number one state, New Hampshire, 41st in state population. They had six reports, and that's good enough for a 0.442 per capita. So just slightly under 1 out of 200,000 people reporting UFOs in New Hampshire. I don't know what they say. So I guess I have to make a prediction for December, and I probably screwed up because I thought about it. Now, last month, I just threw one out there, threw a Hail Mary, and I got within one of the total and within nine of the U.S., but hopefully this is going to be just as close. I don't know. We'll find out. But here it is. Go ahead and write it down. December, I'm predicting a total of 535 sightings with 420 in the United States. That's my guess. That's my prediction. And it's written down. So there's nothing. I can't change it. It's in there. So now the big story of the week, a big bombshell story, I guess you could call it, an update to an ongoing story involving the U.S. government and purported investigation of UFOs. They admitted it earlier this year, right? Came out and said it. Back on December 16th, 2017, it was revealed that the United States was secretly researching reports of unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAPs. That's the new term. We don't talk about UFOs anymore because everybody automatically goes to alien-driven craft. But unidentified flying objects really just means just that. It's something we can't identify. But unfortunately, the culture has changed it to kind of a duality of definitions. So these UAPs, United States secretly researching these reports through their Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP. is what it's actually called. Back then, it seemed clear to me that this didn't mean UFOs of an alien origin. Again, just things that couldn't be instantly identifiable by the Air Force or other military agencies. But the doors seemed to be open, and the government didn't necessarily state that UFOs were not something they were looking into. But now we got a little bit of a flip-flop going on. And again, I don't know why this isn't front page. I'm confused as to why this isn't on networks and people aren't talking about it. And Tom DeLonge's not pulling his hair out. Now, the Black Vault is reporting that the government is now saying that the ATIP program was not only not a UFO program, it was also not a UAP program. Again, not a UAP program. Pentagon spokesperson Susan got via an email to Black Vault, quote, neither ATIP nor AWSAP, I don't even know how you'd say that, AAWSAP, were UAP related. AWSAP? We'll just say AWSAP. That sounds awesome. Unquote. Well, she didn't say that part, but she just said neither ATIP nor AWSAP were UAP related, unquote. AWSAP refers to the Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications Program, which is a mouthful. Do you think they just sit around and try to come up with acronyms? Let's just throw a bunch of words at the wall. Probably. A contract posted publicly by the Defense Intelligence Agency, Bigelow Aerospace, had a subsidiary that ultimately won the bid from the program that was open to the public sector in August of 2008. The email to the Black Vault also stated, quote, the purpose of ATIP was to investigate foreign advanced aerospace weapon systems applications with future technology projections over the next 40 years and to create a center of expertise on advanced aerospace technologies, unquote. Confusing. In May of this year, the New York Post ran the headline, quote, the Pentagon finally admits it investigates UFOs, unquote. The story quotes Pentagon spokesperson Christopher Sherwood, who said that ATIP did pursue research and investigation into unidentified aerial phenomena. And this, this is what started this whole story this year. The government coming out, they threw it. They said it. We did it. We are. We're looking at this. Here it is. Now, they didn't say specifically UFOs, but again, unidentified aerial phenomena, somewhat similar, kind of in the same ballpark. So now what are they saying? So of the discrepancy, Goff replied, quote, at the time, Mr. Sherwood was repeating the information that had been provided by a previous spokesman some 2 years earlier. That previous spokesperson is no longer with my organization, and I cannot comment on why that person's explanation of ATIP included that it had looked at anomalous events. According to all the official information I have now, when implemented, ATIP did not pursue research and investigation into unidentified aerial phenomena. That was not part of the technical studies nor the reports produced by the program. Unquote. Drop the mic. Kick the cat. This is a big thing that they're saying here. They're completely reneging, completely changing, flip-flopping, however you want to say it, on their previous statements. I don't care who said it. Somebody had to approve what was said earlier this year. So I don't know. It's weird. And yeah, hold on. I'll give you the link for this. It's coming. What about the claims made by Luis Elizondo? I mean, he's been making the rounds at MUFON events for a couple of years now, talking about his program. He's the director of ATIP. Let me tell you about my program. Let me tell you about what we do. Let me tell you about this. He's been the figurehead behind this, saying that he was the director. It's come forward about the allegations of the program. Well, he's also now involved with Tom DeLonge's organization, To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, as the Director of Government Programs and Services. Well, Goff also responded in that email to the Black Vault that Elizondo was not the director for ATIP and had no assigned responsibilities within the program. However, this isn't to say that the Navy and other armed forces or government agencies are not actively investigating UFOs. It just seems that some of the information put out may not be exactly what we think. So a lot of confusing information, flip-flopping on stuff. I don't really know. This is just really weird. And all of this stuff, I think one of the biggest things here is the continued denial that Luis Elizondo had anything to do with ATIP. And he's been, like I said, on the circuit with MUFON, hanging out with Tom DeLonge. He's kind of like the new drummer for Blink-182, beating the drum of his, part in all this with ATIP and everything. And now they're the Pentagon saying, no, this guy's got nothing to do with it. Not directly, anyway. So that's can't bode well for that organization, the TTSA. But now, completely reversing what they said earlier this year, I think it's a big deal. It's a big story. But again, I've not seen it pop up anywhere on any major news feed, only on the paranormal. So I don't know why they really want that out, that they would really push that out there. But I'm not sure what's going on. But it's still early in the week. It's only Tuesday. It's almost Christmas. It feels like it's Christmas, like next week. I don't know what it is, but anyway, yes, I do have the link there. So there's the link to the Black Vault. Lots of information on that link. And just because you asked, I'll go back. And our first story, you're missing out. If you're not listening live in the chat room, you're missing out on my links to these stories. Now, these aren't just the links that you're going to find, the Anomalous or Unexplained Mysteries or any of these other websites that put this stuff out. I mean, this one, of course, the Black Vault, that's a story emanated from that. And that's what I do. I try to find the source for these stories or a good resource or one that's, not disseminating it or watering it down before you get to read it. And there's my other one there for the cancer thing, the cancer story. And I'm sure when she goes to Loch Ness, we're going to hear about it. We'll talk about it, sure. Maybe next year will be the year that somebody does discover it. All right, let's not hold our breath. But let's talk a little bit about some of the stories of 2017. Just 2 years ago. How much has changed? I mean, what happened back then? Does anybody remember any of the big stories? Exactly. And that's why I do this. That's why I talk about these things here, because we have a tendency to forget about these things. Time is not kind to the paranormal at all. Things happen, they fade away, and then we wait for the next biggest story. Sometimes we don't even wait a day for the next big story to pop up, and that's unfortunate because a lot of these stories that make it into the news feed do find an explanation, but we never get to hear about it because we're always consumed with that next big story. And that's part of my job here on the Paranormal News Insider, is to report the news to you as accurately as possible. If I have to dig into it, if I have to email somebody, if I have to call somebody, if I have to drive to Venezuela to get you an answer, that's what I do. I try to get the behind the scenes to these stories, or to continue to dig until I can. Or sometimes you just kind of have to sit and wait on your hands for a story to unfold. Sometimes you have to wait a year or so for them to evolve. So is the case. That happens. But I'm not a big fan of saying, hey, well, here's a great story that just popped in. Here's your take on it. And then let's throw in the RON file and move on for next week. No, I don't like doing that. I like holding on to some of these stories. And, at least until they're solved, until we can comfortably put it into the file and move on. But I like to dig into these stories, and I like to visit them at times and look at what molded our year, what molded this time frame, and where are we at now, and look back. And some of these stories are absolutely ridiculous. some of these stories that made the top 10 I thought were going to be really big stories, and they were at the time. They turned out to be garbage later on. Or they did turn around and help explain a previous big story, such as the number 10 story of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017, which was the Aflacalypse gets a partial explanation. So the Aflacalypse was a big story in years past. Mass animal die-offs, animals dying, falling out of the sky, dying in the ocean, all over the place. And in 2017, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, announced that early in the year, I guess it was in February, that they were going to do a thorough study into the idea that solar storms might be the cause of massive breaching of cetacean animals, such as whales. Now, if you follow the paranormal about the Aflacalypse events, there's been all sorts of potential explanations for these Aflacalypse, these mass animal die-off stories. Man-made climate change, sonar operations of the Navy, potential pole reversals, a lot of other crazy, zany things have been thrown at the wall. None of them can really stick at all. But now they conducted a test, kind of a survey, basically, on a series of strandings of 29 sperm whales in the North Sea. They did some necropsies and determined that strandings may be triggered by geomagnetic storms. So it may just put them off from their mental direction, and they end up getting beached. So that's a potential explanation, which I thought was interesting. Science always wins over being viral in my book, because a viral story may not have anything to do with the paranormal. And even though millions of people read a story, if the story actually helps solve something or give us answers, then I'll put that into a little deeper. So the Aflacalypse was the number 5 story back in 2012 and the number 2 story back in 2011. So now we know a little bit more. Science has kind of added a little bit to a dimension to the Aflacalypse story. I think it made it pretty interesting, but only number 10 that year, 2017. 2017's number 9 story were Bigfoot stories. So every now and again, one story made be meaningless, but there's a whole bunch of them that are in that same kind of ballpark. And I do what the cable companies bundle, phone companies bundle things together, your internet, your phone, your TV, whatever. I do that with paranormal stories. I bundle. So you get savings up to 66% on your paranormal stories by bundling. It's true. So Bigfoot stories as a collection were the number 9 stories. A couple of interesting ones. North Dakota. So there was a gentleman who found 18-inch long by 8-inch wide tracks, a 4-foot stride. It was weird because really interesting description, but then the story kind of got blown apart the next week. Supposedly it was fake tracks, but it got a lot of attention. But not as much as attention as the group Bigfoot 911 out of North Carolina, who claimed that on Friday, August 4th of 2017, they have a very large Facebook group following. Thousands of people follow Bigfoot 911. The group was out in the woods investigating, looking for Bigfoot. They had glow sticks. I guess Bigfoot likes raves. I don't know. I didn't know this. They heard something approaching the area. And John Bruner got a sighting. He said, this is important here. He says, quote, "The angle of the moon was shining straight down on the road, and something big stepped into view. I turned on my headlamp, and I saw a large bipedal animal covered in hair. It took one step into the woods, then took off running toward where it went in the woods." He was about, unquote. Let me close this quote for a second here. Just for a second. So at this point, Bruno was able to get in within 30 yards of the creature and was able to describe it. So he says, he described it as, quote, its face was solid black with hair, no hair on it. The hair looked shaggy all over its body. It turned and took 5 steps and was at the bottom of the hill, probably 30 yards. I could see the gluteus maximus flexing with each step, unquote. If that's not a headline, I don't know what is. That's a headline right there. Gluteus maximus flexing in the night sky. The moon shining off the sheen off of his hairy. Anyway, so that story popped in the news feed, and it wasn't too long. I think it was only a couple of days, 2 or 3 days later. A guy named Gawen McGregor, 36-year-old Minnesotian. Was that what they call themselves? Minnesotans? Ice people? Thousand Lake people? I don't know what they call themselves. He has a goal of connecting himself with Sasquatch in a spiritual level. So McGregor essentially combined his Christian beliefs with a shamanistic approach. We're not even going to get into that whole thing. But he likes to go out into the woods. And he visits eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, trying to practice his personal rituals with getting close to Bigfoot in a spiritual level. So anyway, McGregor states that it was him that the Sasquatch, I should say Bigfoot 911 group, came across in the woods in North Carolina. Yikes. So you saw another guy's butt. I mean, either way, that's kind of weird to talk about a gluteus maximus of a bipedal creature. I think that's just a little awkward. But anyway, I came clean and said, that was me. That was me. Lots of other stories. There was one about Bigfoot carrying a pig. Yes, Bigfoot carrying a pig. That was in California, Avocado Lake, California. Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. And let's see. Todd Standing was in the news that year talking about discovering Bigfoot. And then this Peter King guy, I'm not going to talk about him. So a lot of different stories kind of added up and made Bigfoot kind of a decent story all throughout the year. It was in the news quite a bit over the course of that time frame. So number 8, my favorite story of the year, but unfortunately it only finished number 8. It was the eclipse. Remember that? The big eclipse on, was it August 21st? And the end of the world. So I combined the eclipse with the end of the world because it seemed like it was all together. Nibiru was a big story all throughout the year. People saying that the eclipse was going to bring about the end of the world. We would freeze. It would go into global cooling, ice age. I don't know why. But there was a lot of other paranormal stories that popped up, such as maps showing the lizard men down in Tennessee? Are they down there? Yeah, South Carolina. So Bigfoot was also on these maps, and all these, there was just hundreds of stories, but unfortunately it just kind of happened all within a very short period of time. Now, I was down there. I was in just south of Franklin, Tennessee, for that whole like whopping 4 minutes of darkness, but it was beautiful. It was a sight that I'll never forget. Hopefully we have one here in Ohio in a couple of years, but it's going to be cloudy. I can already tell you. But the eclipse was a big, big story. Unfortunately, not too much paranormal stuff combined with it. The number 7 story was the Flat Earthers. And this is a story that just wouldn't go away, no matter how much I wanted it to. Professional basketball player Kyrie Irving. Cleveland Cavaliers of all people. Kyrie Irving came out and said, the earth is flat, and he knows it. Flat. And Kyrie got an assist by Shaquille O'Neal. Came on the podcast, said the same thing. Yes, it's flat. It's flat. The rapper B.O.B., is that how he says it? I don't know. He had a GoFundMe campaign. I mean, I'd gladly give a couple $100 to launch the guy into space so you can see the curve. But yeah, big name people getting their names out there, just talking about this flat Earth thing, really stirring the pot. There was also the Flat Earth International Conference that was held in Raleigh, North Carolina that year. Was in all over the news. So the Flat Earth people got their name out there quite a bit in 2017. The number six story was the Chicago Phantom that was heavily carried and investigated and researched by Lon Strickler of Phantoms and Monsters, also a fellow broadcaster here on the Paranormal King Radio Network. And we were also at the time fellow radio show hosts on the different network. But this thing was crazy all year long. I followed it as close as I could. Got a little confusing because there was some probably misinformation going on. And 20 episodes during that year, I talked about the Chicago Phantom episodes, and it spawned a few books. Lon published the book, The Mothman Dynasty, Chicago's Winged Humanoids, and Lauren Coleman got in on the act too with Mothman Evil Incarnate, the unauthorized companion to Mothman Prophecies. And again, Lon Strickler, phantomsandmonsters.com, he covered that in very good depth. He had maps about all the sightings and where they were going on, and really covered that story really, really well. But just some of the inconsistencies and the fact that the purported police reports did not exist made that story slip to number six. Number five in 2017, the thylacine doesn't seem to go away. So it seems to pop up and disappear every few years. We see a lot of stories and then we see it fade away. But there was a lot of actual research in 2017. The Brain Arc, the Thylacine Awareness Group made a bunch of sightings. The Brain Arc was a scientist who scanned the brains of thylacines and thought of them, kind of defined them more as a predator rather than a scavenger, which kind of changed the way people think of how thylacines were. There was some historical Tassie sightings. There was also the Chris Rehberg hair experiment. So he had discovered some hair and had them analyzed. And I helped fund that research, which really updated the hair samples that were available to people who may actually, if anyone ever discovers a thylacine or thylacine hair, now we have better samples to compare them to than what we did before. Number four was Amelia Earhart, 80th anniversary disappearance. Now, this was the year of the horrible History Channel show where they supposedly had this painting that proved that she was still alive after her disappearance. But a quick research by somebody disproved that entire thing. It all came falling apart. Japanese military history buff totally destroyed that TV show documentary in one fell swoop. But still, the 80th anniversary stirred up a lot of speculation, and she's still, there's potential that any day now, any week, we might get news that Amelia Earhart's bones were actually discovered. You heard it here first. Just keep waiting. Keep listening. Number three was the WOW signal study findings reveal. Antonio Paris had a hypothesis that the WOW signal of 1977 was caused by a comet. And unknown comet at the time, discovered after that event. The WOW signal was a massive signal that occurred in Columbus, Ohio, on a radio telescope that got everyone's attention. And they wrote WOW in the margin of the numbers because nobody could figure out what it was. And it went unknown for years, but now it might have been put to rest by Antonio Paris. A lot of people don't agree with it. I'm not sure. I think it's great to have an answer for it, to be honest. The number two story of 2017, scientists state that ghosts do not exist. This bombshell came from an interview from Brian Cox, an advanced fellow of particle physics at the University of Manchester, who basically said that the Large Hadron Collider would have discovered some sort of unknown force if it had existed, and it didn't, so it doesn't, in short. Caused a lot of controversy. There was other investigations that year into consciousness and different things that could have explained ghosts, but nonetheless, it came up short. So 2017 was the year that ghosts were pretty much debunked. I mean, so far. On number one story of 2017, exoplanets. So numerous exoplanets were discovered to talk about life on other planets, potential planets being discovered left and right is a big deal. And 2017 was a major year for that. And that's our look back at 2017. And next week we'll talk 2018. But right now, let's get into the 2019 countdown. Yes, last week I debuted the number 10, the number 9, and the number 8 stories, with the number 10 story being the Yeti being discovered, sort of. Early in the year, back in April, I believe, late April, the Indian Army Mountaineering Expedition team announced that it had found mysterious footprints of the Yeti, but they were a little bit too quick to the punch, and it's pretty much blown up that that's really not, it wasn't a Yeti. It was more than likely a bear tracks. There was no other evidence discovered, and even the tracks themselves were gone within a few days. So number 9 was the thylacine back in the countdown. Was it in the countdown last year? I don't know. You'll find out next week. The thylacine, the government admitted that it was keeping track of sightings. There was also a new colorized video reported, put onto, I think it was Reddit. So we got a new look at an old video, which is always kind of neat. Number 8 story was the Dutch and U.S. UFO sightings, which were tied to SpaceX Starlink launches. A lot to unpack with that, but essentially, the Elon Musk is creating a very large mega constellation of small satellites in space. About 10,000 of these things, 12,000 of these things, are going to be all over the place, geostationary orbits to provide people with internet. You're going to see these things in the sky pretty soon, folks. And it's really going to mess up the night skies. But so far, with these initial launches, people are reporting UFOs all over the place. The first set were in, the Dutch were reporting it. And then here in the United States, later on in the year, in November, people were reporting it from Florida to California, these UFOs in the sky. These are two different types of stories coming. You know, I think the reality is scarier than people reporting the UFOs, to be honest. And that was your number 8 story. So now we're going to debut the number 7, number 6, and number 5. So number 7, we've been talking about it a lot this year. And tonight we had another story to add to this. Yes, it is none other than the Loch Ness Monster. So I've kind of combined all of the sightings, because this year is a sightings record for the 21st century. And that's according to Gary Campbell of the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register. 2019 has set the record for the most Nessie sightings for the 21st century with 18. And that's not even counting the one with the young... Yeah, I guess it is the young boy. That does count, that one. So it's the most official sightings of the creature since 1983. Last year, there were 15 such sightings. There were 12 in 2017, 7 in 2016, 2015, and 2014. And 5 or less sightings each year going back to the year 2000, which had 11 sightings. Most of the sightings were of disturbances of the water's surface with no visible creature, and many of these sightings were made from land very far from the actual disturbance. Sightings of something protruding from the surface were mostly made from a significant distance so that the person could not actually see what was at the surface. One image taken at the depth finder was near Urquhart Castle of a potential large object, but when the boat came around for another look, the object was gone. A few of these sightings were made from webcams, including one on August 7th that was made by a viewer in Hong Kong. That's quite a drive. The last sighting on October 29th was made by the 5-year-old Zachary White, who we just mentioned in a previous story. He was able to search for the Loch Ness Monster as a children's charity paid for his trip. White was able to see Nessie, but it wasn't really a living, breathing creature. Don't tell him I said that. Don't tell him I said that. It was really Nessie, Zachary. It was really him. Her, whatever it is. But it's a nice gesture to include his sightings into the official register of sightings. And the big thing with this is, yes, an S with two vertical lines to that. It's estimated the Loch Ness Monster generates over $53 million of tour revenue to the region yearly. Why this story is in the top 10, the Loch Ness Monster continues to mystify and intrigue the world despite many explanations about its origins and existence pointing to the contrary. A record number of sightings is something to surely draw more visitors in 2020 and potentially more sightings occurring from this as well. Why was it only number 7 then? If it's such a big deal, well, none of the sightings are substantial. Never has a Loch Ness Monster sighting given scientists any glimmer of hope that a mystery animal may actually exist in the depths of a lake in Scotland. And 2019 was no closer to a discovery. Yet, this legend will probably never fade away. So that's your number 7 story. Number 6. Yes, my favorite story of the year. And somebody asked earlier in the chat room, so what, no stories about this week? Well, no. I think we're done with those, but I'm not done with it. It made it to number 6. I wished it was number 1, but I just really couldn't justify going any higher. Yes, number 6, the summer. Yes, you are right, Dita. The summer of the alligators, with Northeast U.S. sightings pouring in everywhere. Random alligator sightings outside of their normal habitat. It's not a new thing. They actually happen quite frequently. However, in 2019, a couple of these stories broke the surface and became national headlines. The excitement started back on May 18th in Pittsburgh. A family called 911 to report a 3-foot-long alligator along the banks of the Monongahela River. In June, a 5-foot-long alligator named Chomp escaped from the home where he was being kept. This man had 2 more alligators confiscated from his home due to poor conditions. A couple of days later, another alligator showed up on a porch a few miles away. This one, 3 feet long. On October 1st, a man fishing along the Allegheny River in Pittsburgh just happened to look down and spot a 3-foot-long alligator resting on the bank. All told, 7 alligators rescued in Pittsburgh in 2019, prompting lawmakers to make some decisions. This fall, they just passed a law, a local, well, I guess it's a law in Pittsburgh that you have to have them all notated that you have these things. July 9th, an alligator was reported in the lagoon of the Humboldt Park area just outside of Chicago. After a week, the 5-foot-long alligator, now nicknamed Chance the Snapper, after Chance the Rapper is a big name rapper in Chicago, if you didn't know. I didn't know either. He was captured by Frank Robb. Robb was called in from Florida and quickly became a local celebrity. Robb got to throw out the first pitch at a Cubs game. He got to start the Buckingham Fountain in Grant Park and was honored later that year at an awards banquet. 2 local breweries named beer after the alligator and bobbleheads were made of Robb and Chance. Robb went on to publish a coloring book, I have mine, in the name of charity. Chance is resting comfortably in St. Augustine, Florida, and even has his own Wikipedia page. I don't even have a Wikipedia page. How's an alligator get one? Crazy. But that was probably the biggest story in the entire city of Chicago all year long. In mid-August, Pleasant County Sheriffs and the St. Mary's Police Department of West Virginia discovered a 3.5-foot-long alligator. In West Alexandria, Ohio, a man saw an alligator in the water as children were playing in the Bantus Creek. The man silently alerted an adult on shore, and the children were removed from the water. What was thought to be an alligator turned out to be a 7-foot-long crocodile. Yes, you heard that right. 7-foot-long crocodile swimming under the bridge right where the children had just been moments before. A local game warden, a wildlife officer, was quickly contacted, and the giant crocodile was sadly dispatched at the scene. And again, it was measured at just over 7 feet long and weighing it at 171 pounds. A 3-foot-long alligator was discovered swimming in a pond in Temperance, Michigan in late September. An alligator was captured near a retention pond in Adamstown, Maryland in early October. And in mid-October, a 9-year-old girl pulled a small alligator out of Prior Lake in Minnesota. Unfortunately, that alligator had died from the cold. Residents discovered a dead alligator in a large plastic tote in an alley in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Halloween night. And it was pretty much during a snowstorm that weekend. All of these alligators are thought to be released or escaped exotic pets. But they can be dangerous if they come into contact with children and potentially adults. If they grow quickly enough during the warmer parts of the year, it's not likely that these alligators can survive the cold winters of the Northeast. But a story in October told how alligators have adapted to live in parts of Tennessee. Why this story is in the top 10? Alligators. They're not supposed to exist in the Northeast at all. Many of these stories are downright scary to think of. The Pittsburgh and Chicago incidents gained national attention, while other small stories were no less shocking. Animals outside of their known range qualify as cryptids, although many do not consider these ones to be released to be included in that list. So why is the story number 6? Well, despite the Pittsburgh and Chicago incidents getting huge local coverage, the rest of the world, well, they didn't really care much for these stories. And the story didn't gain the attraction as much as the Wessie the Snake story did back in 2016. So your number 5 story, real quick. I know it's time for everyone to depart, but real quick, I want to mention the number 5 story tonight. In early June, numerous headlines hit the news stating that Bigfoot was investigated or hunted by the FBI. So that's your number 5 story. FBI releases Bigfoot files. 1976, Peter Byrne, then the director of Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition of Oregon, pleaded to the FBI for help in analyzing his evidence to see if it could prove the existence of Bigfoot. Byrne had also written that others had mentioned the FBI had purportedly conducted hair analysis on previous Bigfoot claims. Jay Cochran Jr., assistant director of the agency's Scientific and Technical Services Division, actually responded to Byrne's request on December 15, 1976, stating that the FBI conducts investigations, primarily of physical evidence for law enforcement agencies, but occasionally on a case-by-case basis, they can do something like this. So on February 24, 1977, Byrne's colleague, Howard Curtis, received a letter from Jay Cochran Jr. stating the analysis of said hairs. Byrne had been in Nepal for a few months, apparently. The letter mentioned how the hairs were examined and that they were compared to known samples. It was concluded that the hairs were of the deer family origin, and the case was closed. So no, the FBI did not search or investigate for Bigfoot, nor did they find any compelling evidence. Yet the story was carried by numerous news outlets and led to rampant theories that the FBI was involved with the hunt of Bigfoot. So why is this story in the top 10? Well, it was by far the biggest Bigfoot story of the year, and it certainly raised a lot of eyebrows and created a lot of suspicion. Really the first time we've ever heard the FBI and Bigfoot in the same sentence. The story was carried by many major networks. It was a very viral story, albeit for a very short time. So why was the story only number 5? The story was hyped as the FBI searching for Bigfoot. Many made the story sound like the FBI had boots on the ground and actually sent agents out looking for evidence. Unfortunately, this was not the case, and it was simply just an analysis of hairs that turned out to be some type of deer. The story didn't do much to fuel the possibility of Bigfoot or any actual evidence. So that's your 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5 stories of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019. And tune in next week for the top 4 stories of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2019. I'll get it in within an hour this time. Promise. The number 4, number 3, number 2, and number 1, you're going to be excited. I think some years I've let people down, but I think this year you guys are really going to be excited about the top 4. So tune in next week, the last show of the year for 2019. The ball will drop, I guess, and we'll have the top 4. We'll rehash the top 10. And yeah, I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, just like the song says, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.